Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Let's get down.
Kaya Biz.
Let's get down to business.
On the street.
On the air.
On the air. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. I'm Kukuletu Mfupi. Now, over the last few days, we've given you some insight into the G20 finance track. Conversations that are currently underway in Durban, where various central bank governors, finance ministers and various other policymakers are all aligned and sharing some feedback and outcomes on the global environment that we're in. Much of this has to do with how central banks position themselves to facilitate growth within their economies and, of course, target their mandates. In South Africa specifically, as you've heard a moment ago from Johan, their growth prospects are positive, but we also are contending with a variety of factors, largely on the back of Donald Trump, the trade tariffs and what they mean for our exporting potential. Part of the conversations that are taking place down in Durban involves central bank governors like our very own, Lesetša Kgangeago. Now, he was in conversation on the sidelines of these debates with Jennifer Zabasaja, who's a correspondent and senior anchor for Bloomberg Television. This was shared on their Instagram page. And here's a snippet of what the governor does say regarding the threat of the U.S. imposing tariffs on South Africa.
For all of us who are exporting to the country that imposes tariffs, there is an impact on output. And in the case of South Africa, the biggest impacts that come through the automotive industry and the agricultural sector. The issue about tariffs also raises important issues. We are having to grapple with what would this mean for the outlook of the U.S. Economy and the posture that the Fed might take in terms of monetary policy and what it would mean to global financing conditions. And the problem is that there are so many moving parts, it is not clear where we would end up.
That is the voice of South Africa's governor of the Reserve Bank, Lesetša Kgangeago. He was speaking on the sidelines of the G20 finance track taking place in Durban, speaking to Chief Africa Anchor and Correspondent of Bloomberg TV, Jennifer Zabasaja, and this was shared on their Instagram page to give us some context around the threats and concerns. As you've heard, there's a lot that is on the mind of central bank governors, policymakers, and even economists, as we spoke to Johan Els a moment ago. But what are some of our counterparts abroad saying? Let's find out what this does mean from an international perspective.
Kaya Biz. Only on Kaya 959. On the street. On the air.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. And by now, many of us are well aware of the macroeconomic global factors that we've been keeping our eye on for some time. In as much as South Africa just might be at the bottom of the continent, we are well aware that we are an open economy and one that is easily influenced by a lot of the global dynamics that take place. Consider the tariffs. Consider what that means for our trade relationship with the US, but also what the EU is saying as a consequence of Donald Trump imposing tariffs on various nations. To help us unpack all of this and so much more and fully encapsulate what the EU is concerned about, how it impacts their trade relationship with the US, and of course, how emerging markets like South Africa need to position themselves, we're joined by Razia Khan, Chief Economist and Head of Research for Africa and the Middle East at Standard Chartered. Such a pleasure to speak to you, Razia, and I'm really excited to have this conversation with you, even though it might be a fairly depressing topic. But for those of us who love economics, it really does bring about a plethora of various outcomes. And I guess first things first, I think it's best for us just to reflect on your reaction and your analysis of Donald Trump and his tariffs from Liberation Day back in April to where we are now, where there's some.
Thanks. I wish I shared your optimism that there's some sense of finalization or conclusion. So to put this in context, we've just released our half-yearly global outlook, and we were surprised that global growth held up so well in the first half of the year. Mm-hmm. A lot of this had to do with different countries front-loading their exports to the US, so-called tariff front-running. That is, they wanted to be able to ship whatever they needed to ship quickly before these new tariffs might apply. We got that pause after Liberation Day.
Yeah.
But it's not as though there's a great deal more certainty now. What we do know is that an agreement with China looks to have been secured in Geneva. China's dominance of rare earths exports probably had a lot to do with that, boosting its negotiating power. Mm-hmm. For a lot of the other major trading blocs, there's been suggestions of the tariffs that will apply, but everyone is scrambling to still reach some kind of a deal. And here's the rub. We don't know that even when a deal is reached, that that is going to be final, that that is going to be holding. So unfortunately, this trade policy uncertainty looks likely to be with us for some time. And as much as we saw a stronger than expected first half of the year for the world's economy, the US continued to be resilient. Europe and China both benefited from the fact that they were exporting more to the US. Mm-hmm. There was this inventory buildup. And now we're all watching every single data point to see how we're going to be holding up in the second half of the year. But the concern is it's not just tariffs.
Yes.
We could look at it at face value. The US accounts for 16% of the global trade in goods. That means 84% of the global trade in goods that happens involves other countries. Mm. But the influence of the US, and given the long-standing dependence that everyone has had on the US consumer as being what economists would call a consumer of last resort, everyone has relied on the strength of US demand in a sense, and the global economy is interrelated. We all trade with each other. It's going to be a while before everything settles. So great policy uncertainty, just like South Africa's trying to negotiate down that 30% tariff.
Yep.
We won't know until the nth moment, and we may not even know at the nth moment how it all plays out. But this is likely to have a big impact on investment plans the world over.
100%. I'm glad you went there, because the first part of your answer and response really does speak to heightened uncertainty. Markets don't like that. Investors don't like that. And as you said, it will influence where capital is allocated. I'm keen for us perhaps to pick up on that and just evaluate what are some of the remaining risk factors then when it comes to our observations and forecasts for global growth for the remainder of 2025.
So we're going to have to examine closely how all the different trade negotiations eventually play out. What has become clear so far? Think of a foreign multinational that established itself in Vietnam thinking there's going to be a Trump presidency as of late last year. Mm-hmm. Therefore, there could be higher tariffs on China. Let's move our operations to Vietnam. And until the recent preliminary trade agreement, they would have faced great uncertainty about just how high a tariff they would eventually have to cope with.
Yes.
And so this means there's great uncertainty about how these trade negotiations still play out. Are transshipments from China going to be penalized by the Trump administration? Are they really saying to other countries, sorry, it's not good enough if China manufactures things and sells it to you and you sell it on to us? We're going to be taking steps against this. Mm. That's a core part of the uncertainty that we face. Mm. The other big factor, let's not forget that China is a very important economy, a very important source of global growth, and a very important source of demand for many developing countries. Since the COVID crisis, China has done well because it has been able to export a lot to the rest of the world.
Yes.
The net exports part of China's GDP has been what's really been driving overall growth. And that was one of the reasons why growth in the first half of the year surprised so positively in China. All of that front loading of exports. But what we don't know, what none of us know, is whether China can adequately change its growth model and try to stimulate domestic demand so that it can keep growth going even in the face of this uncertainty. So we may take comfort from a better than expected start to the year. And South Africa is, of course, seeing a different trend. We expect the growth numbers to get better still, but we just don't know how it's all going to end up.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to keep with the U.S. and China for just a moment. Just recently, we witnessed the U.S. Consumer price inflation figures being released, and not as high as what was initially anticipated. And many have speculated that this trade tariff standoff between China and the US is one where we might continue to see these delays, because fundamentally the stance that the US takes on China regarding tariffs will, as an end result, impact the US consumer the most. Your thoughts on that opinion, and if, you know, there's any value or validation to that particular school of thought?
So while the rest of the world, South Africa included, is thinking, what do all of these tariffs mean for our inflation outlook? For the US consumer, it's pretty clear. They're going to be saddled with the cost of these higher tariffs. Sure. It's the consumer who pays for the higher tariffs. Sure, businesses may compress their margins. Sure, FX fluctuations may take off some of the pressure. We'll have to see. That hasn't really been the case so far. But for the US, it looks as though higher inflation is almost a certainty. Mm-hmm. Now, in the background to this, with the Fed hesitant to cut interest rates or to rush into more easing, because of this obvious inflation uncertainty, there is all the pressure from the Trump administration on the Fed to say, come on, cut rates. And it's not saying, come on, cut rates, because they want the economy to be doing better necessarily. Fiscal policy has taken good care of the economy. Fiscal deficits in the US are about three times as large as we would normally expect. Mm-hmm. But they're pressurizing the Fed to cut rates because of the hope that financing that fiscal deficit will be cheaper. And that can be very problematic, as South Africans will know, looking at Zimbabwe's experience.
100%. Let's talk about South Africa. Right now, we are currently hosting the finance track of the G20, a theme and focus of this year. Many central bank governors, together with finance ministers, all meeting in Durban to actually discuss these global dynamics. Our governor of our central bank has made it very clear that the risk factors of rising inflation do continue to stand. I'm quite keen to get your analysis on this. This global dynamic.
I don't envy any policymaker at this point. So South Africa's had this really favorable run of inflation, like many emerging markets, because the rand has strengthened overall in this crisis. Who would have thought? This is unusual behavior. Oil prices have moved lower. Inflation is benign. Inflation has been sub 3%. And in any other circumstance, it would be a clear green light for the Saab to think of cutting interest rates. But policymakers have to weigh up the uncertainties of the future. How does this play out for the global economy? Are we going to see other trading partners retaliate? Are we going to see a tariff war that could end up really causing a lot more disruption to global trade and therefore raising inflation for everyone? So it's not an easy decision, and still less easy to try to explain to the ordinary South African. Probably most South Africans want lower interest rates. They may just have to wait a while longer.
Just when we were getting used to the interest rate cutting cycle that we had just started last year, Razia. So
it's not necessarily over. Wait for a lower inflation target to be announced. The Saab is insistent. Lower inflation means lower interest rates. Will that target be lowered?
Ah, that is relevant and very critical, because essentially it means a shift in their mandate. Well, not necessarily their mandate, but rather the target, which would have a benefit to us. On that note, I can imagine opportunity still does exist. You can tell that I tried my best to be an opportunist. But for a market like South Africa, given that the EU, China and various markets in the Middle East continue to be our biggest trading partners, where does the opportunity lie despite the threats of higher tariffs from the US?
There's one region that South Africa is very much a part of that is going to see its population grow by maybe another 600 million people in the next 25 years. Now, where would that be?
Right here.
Africa. Mm-hmm. That's where the opportunity is. No one should ever lose sight of this. Sure, a lot more can be done to boost consumers' spending power. A lot more could be done to raise average incomes. A lot more needs to be done. But this is still likely to be a key region driving global growth in the future. It is South Africa's opportunity for the taking.
Razia, such a pleasure speaking to you as always and giving us some perspective on what can at times be a very complex and technical global matter. But thank you again for your time this evening. Your insights are greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
Razia Khan, Chief Economist for Africa and Head of Research for Africa and the Middle East at Standard Chartered. Click.
kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.